Breaking news today on Jay Sekulow Live. Nancy Pelosi names the House managers who will prosecute the case against President Trump in the U.S. Senate. Schiff and Nadler are on the team. We'll talk about that. And the House voting as we speak, beginning that vote, to send the articles of impeachment to the Senate to start the process.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
Today, on the floor, we'll pass a resolution naming the managers, as I mentioned, appropriating the funds for the trial, and transmitting the articles of impeachment of the President of the United States.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
If the Senate doesn't permit the introduction of all relevant witnesses and of all documents that the House wants to introduce, because the House is the prosecutor here, then the Senate is engaging in an unconstitutional and disgusting cover-up. The Senate is on trial as well as the President.
And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
And there you go. Senate, House Democrats already alienating the U.S. Senate, including both, I think, Republican senators who may be on the fence about things like witnesses, people like Susan Collins, Mitt Romney, Lisa Murkowski. And they hear Jerry Nadler say that the Senate is on trial in this impeachment. No, that's not true. It's unfortunate, but it is the president who is on trial. He shouldn't be. There shouldn't be an impeachment. This is totally a hoax and a scam. But we are at the point now where the House managers have been named. But I played that at the beginning of the broadcast because I think you were starting to see fatal moments already from those chosen by Speaker Pelosi. As we said, she basically had to choose Schiff and Nadler because it would be a show of weakness if not they're the chairs of the two committees who handled the impeachment in the House. It is a show of weakness. It would have been a show of weakness if they had not. But to attack the U.S. Senate as a body and to say the Senate is on trial is exactly how you turn Susan Collins, Lisa Murkowski, Mitt Romney, and even some Democrats possibly against you. Because, Than, the Senate is not on trial. The Senate has the sole power to try the impeachment. They are the triers. They are the jurors, in fact.
Yeah, nothing like winning friends and influencing people, Jordan. This is the worst possible way to get 20 Republicans to vote along with you to impeach a president. Look, I mean, we've talked about it on this broadcast before, Jordan, but the two names that came to mind when I heard the congressman say that were Doug Jones and Joe Manchin. I mean, if Doug Jones and Joe Manchin look at this soberly and seriously, as the chairman suggests that they need to, so that the Senate won't be on trial, I think those are the two most likely senators to break with their party and actually vote to exonerate the president, Jordan. Again, I mean, there's so much talk about 51. Jordan, how do you get to 67, which is the threshold, yeah, if the accusation from the people prosecuting the case are saying it's you, the jurors, who are on trial? Bad mistake, Jordan.
Let's also update people. Right now, the president is signing phase one of the China deal. The stock market is again over 29,000. As the president likes to say, check your 401ks. If they are not 60, 70, or 80% better and only 50% better, hey, you should check in with your brokers and who's handling your 401k. Because again, the stock market is going through the roof as we speak. This is at the same time, folks, that usually if a stock market and the markets thought that there was going to be some kind of instability in our government, would get a little nervous. They're not very nervous about Adam Schiff and Jerry Nadler and the five others named by Nancy Pelosi. And literally, the House is about to vote to send the articles over to the Senate in just a matter of moments. But what is the president doing? Governing. Signing trade deals with China to help American businesses. And the Senate is about to sign the U.S. MCA, the replacement for NAFTA, and that will then go to the president. And they've been filling those judicial vacancies as well. So you see the partisanship from those House managers, and I already start to wonder, this is the best they can do? Is start attacking the U.S. Senate? I mean, you know, prove your case, make your case, but attacking the Senate, bad idea. We're taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. Oh, there was a Democrat debate last night.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, ACLJ.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Impeachment managers have been named. President Trump is speaking right now, signing phase one of the U.S.-China trade deal. That has, again, sent the stock market soaring, folks. I mean, soaring. This is not an understatement. It's over 29,000 again, probably almost about to break some record. I think that last time it hit 29,000, broke a record. I mean, it just shows you how little weight the markets are putting in this impeachment trial. Now, listen. You take these, as part of the legal team, extremely seriously. But I also want to give you the truth about how the country is seeing it, how others are seeing it. You know, as a legal team, you take everything as serious as any other trial, as any other kind of proceeding, and you take nothing for granted. But the country as a whole is responding to Nancy Pelosi and saying, that's wonderful. The economy's doing great. The president's got the China deal. And Than, you think the Senate is going to move on the U.S.-Mexico-Canada agreement, and that will, replace NAFTA and head right to the president's desk? It's already passed the House.
Yeah, it looks like it, Jordan. It's teed up for a vote later this afternoon. It is possible it could slip until tomorrow morning. But look, this is just one more reason why Leader McConnell was content to wait as long as Speaker Pelosi wanted to, because he had a few of these important things that he needed to clear off the floor of the Senate. Some of this, Jordan, is going to depend on the timing of when the articles are walked over, et cetera. But I'll tell you this, by the time we're on air tomorrow, the USMCA is going to be off the Senate floor.
Okay, so you know, I'm getting a lot of questions right now on Facebook. I'm seeing it over and over again. We're going to go through right now. We're going to start going through who Nancy Pelosi named to be House managers. I mentioned two of them to you already. Adam Schiff, he's the lead manager. So he's like the head. He's kind of like the Pat Cipollone, White House counsel for the president's team. And then his number two, deputy or just kind of different role, judiciary chair. I mean, it's hard to compare this to how the president's team is made up, because the president's team is made up of attorneys that do work for the White House Counsel's Office, and Pat Cipollone. That's, I say his name because you're going to see a lot of him for the first time, not just photos, but in action. He's a great attorney, and some of his deputies. And then Jay Sekulow. It's not really like a 1-2, but that's how the House has decided to set it up. So Adam Schiff is the head. A lot of people are asking him, before I even get into the rest of the list and kind of let you know who these people are. Adam Schiff, people say, well, could he be called as a witness if they got to that witness calling stage? just because he's a house manager. Than, I don't think anything would bar. Now, the rules are not set yet, but if witnesses start getting called, I'm not sure he would be the number one priority. There may be others for Republicans who want the witnesses they want to call. I'm not sure that anything would bar him from being called as a witness. I don't want to answer that definitively. The rules may say they can't be because they're now representing. I'm not 100% sure. But I do think that you're going to get Adam Schiff will get questioned. And that's the key. He, in a sense, by being one of the attorneys, he has opened himself up then to questioning whether or not he's called as a witness or not.
Yeah, no doubt about it. We'll get some of those specifics when that rules package is debated early next week, Jordan. But I do think the question of whether or not he wants to interact with this process is relevant. Again, I mean, I've said it many times, but he declined to submit his own report to the House Judiciary Committee, mainly because he did not want to receive questions. Jordan, a couple of things, though. Both Leader McConnell and Susan Collins, Lindsey Graham, and some others have both said, look, when we get to the point of deciding whether or not witnesses are going to be called, what we are not going to do is what the Democrats did on the House and only what one side called witnesses. So if there are going to be witnesses, if a majority of the Senate decides to do that, which I think is a very open question, but if they do, Jordan, it's not going to be one-sided. They are not going to let House Democrats decide who testifies in the House and then Senate Democrats from the minority decide who testifies in the Senate. That won't happen. Jordan, as far as Chairman Schiff goes, I will tell you this. During this announcement, one of the things that I noticed the most was how specifically Nancy Pelosi said he is the lead manager. Jordan, that was intended to be received by Chairman Jerry Nadler, yet the second time or maybe the third time that Speaker Pelosi has made it clear that he is not leading on her behalf.
Very bizarre opening from Nancy Pelosi. I'll play this, then we're going to start going through some of the bios. I mean, listen, I wanted to use these broadcasts before things really get rolling next week, and I'm with you these next few days. I know I may be with you some next week and during the trial, but I know I'm with you right now to be able to provide this information to you as a member of the president's legal team. So to get into who are the people you're going to hear from on the House manager's side, now we know, and they've got unique bios. Some are names you've probably never heard of, depending on where you are from in the country. You've got four or five that are names that you've often hear, I think, in Congress. What was interesting is that there's only seven appointed. There was no limit here. You can appoint, 12, 13, and seven could be the ones who talk, but they've decided to only go with these seven. And as Than's noted, Than, you think that is because most Democrats didn't want this job to begin with.
I don't think Speaker Pelosi's door was getting banged down by people wanting this job, Jordan. I mean, seven is a small number. Of particular note, too, there are a couple of freshmen on here. I mean, I think probably most people listening haven't heard of a couple of these names. Jordan, I would tell you I have not had interaction with a couple of the offices of the members listed here, and that's pretty much a rarity. So I don't think there are a lot of people wanting the job. I do think something you said on yesterday's broadcast, though, a couple of people that you know wanted the job, Jordan, they're not on the list. That's not an accident.
No, I don't think that is an accident. They're too partisan to go before the Senate. So let me play this from Nancy Pelosi. It started off pretty tough for her this morning. And I think it's because they know, as Chris Liz has said, they lost this round of trying to hold this and make this. And they've now got the Bernie Sanders people upset. Yeah, there was a Democrat debate last night. As Politico generally said, I think in their morning read, it was that no journalist watched that debate and said, wow, I can't believe I get paid to do this job. I mean, Elizabeth Warren had the thing teed up about did Bernie Sanders tell you that a woman couldn't become president? She punted on that. She punted on it. He denied it, and she punted on it. So, again, Warren, Sanders, and Klobuchar, starting Tuesday, I think at the latest, they're going to probably have to come back and swear in before that. But by Tuesday, they are literally stuck in Washington. And unless your campaign, maybe Warren's and Sanders do, have got the resources to charter aircraft to get back and forth nightly from Iowa. And maybe you get to come back the morning of, but also with weather. You can't miss these days. You must be in the chamber. You cannot have your cell phone there. You cannot be texting or tweeting while this is going on. It's just like kind of like being a juror in a normal trial. So, folks, it's very serious. But this is how things started. It was very bizarre. Bite 61 from Nancy Pelosi.
As I've said, it's always been our founders when they started. When in the course of human events it becomes necessary. When Abraham Lincoln 47 years ago Thomas Paine, now are these are the times that try men's souls. The times have found us. Again and again, even our poets. Longfellow, remember, listen, my children, and you will hear of the midnight ride of Paul Revere on the 18th of April in 75. Hardly a man is now alive that remembers that famous day and year. It's always about marking history using time.
What? I mean, again, Nancy Pelosi is a very powerful leader and has been a very, I will always say that about her, has been a true adversary for Republicans, and oftentimes has carried the day, even in the minority. I mean, so she should get her due. But I just feel like they're not in this. So I don't know what she's talking about, the poetry, and we're marking history, and we're using time, and maybe she's quoting these people correctly. Maybe she's not always quoting these people correctly. You get to Abraham Lincoln we're talking about Paul Revere and poets. It is just bizarre. And then, but we actually get to substance. And as we go into this break, these are the House managers. There are seven. We'll go through more in detail. Even some things you may not know about Adam Schiff, for instance, his background. Just so you know who's going to be making the case. So you've got Adam Schiff. He is the chairman of the House Permanent Select Committee on Intelligence. Jerry Nadler, he's the chairman of the House Judiciary Committee. Zoe Lofgren of California, she chairs the Committee on House Administration. Hakeem Jeffries, he is the fourth-ranking Democrat in the House of Representatives. He's the House Democrat, head of the chair of the House Democrat Caucus. Chairwoman Val Demings of Florida, not an attorney from our research, but was the Orlando police officer for over two decades and the Orlando chief of police and the first female Orlando chief of police, so a congresswoman from Florida. Congressman Jason Crow of Colorado, who is a freshman. He was in the military, an Army Ranger, but then an attorney. I've not seen him or heard much from him in all of this. So you're starting to get to people who, again, you may not have heard from. And then Congresswoman Sylvia Garcia, a freshman as well. And she was a judge, Harris County Commissioner's Court, and then presiding judge over the Houston Municipal System. Then city controller in Houston, now a member, and she's on the House Judiciary Committee. But again, not leadership roles, and not the people that you always see out on television. I think there's a reason behind that too as well. We'll get back to that. We'll get a little bit more into the details. We'll start taking your phone calls as well. 1-800-684-3110. 1-800-684-3110. Did any of you watch the Democrat debate last night? I'd like to know that.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, ACLJ.org.
Debbie on Facebook writes, I'm afraid this won't be over with acquittal. The Dems just won't stop. Let me make one thing clear. The president will not be removed from office. The articles will be dismissed. It's an acquittal. It's you're not found. You're not impeached. The impeachment, you may be impeached by the House, but when it was on trial. So this whole thing that Nancy Pelosi talks about, you're lifelong impeached. You know, if you get indicted for a crime and found not guilty. Lifelong indicted doesn't, I mean, I know she's trying to use it for political sense, but it doesn't matter. They're the ones who have failed. And I think, again, as Nancy Pelosi, she keeps doubling down on that. Bite 64. Take a listen.
The president is not above the law. He will be held accountable. He has been held accountable. He has been impeached. He's been impeached forever. They can never erase that.
And actually, you can, because if you move forward in the Senate and dismiss the articles ultimately and side with the president, or at least you're siding against the House, even if you're not technically siding with the president, you're siding that the House has not made their case to remove a president from office, as has been the case in both previous impeachments of presidents. Yes, history will remember the trial. History will remember the politics. But I will tell you, Than, history looks back on those who tried to do this, and in Republicans in the case of Bill Clinton, and actually history looks back poorly on them and not so poorly on Bill Clinton in that situation.
Well, and there were political consequences to pay for that, and there were criminal statutes in play. Yeah, I mean, look, I know this is not a court of law in a criminal sense, Jordan, but the principles of innocent until proven guilty still have to apply. I mean, impeached forever, yeah, unless you're exonerated. If you're exonerated, then you are innocent forever, you know, and unless there's another intervening proceeding. Look, Nancy Pelosi is trying to have it both ways, Jordan. I mean, both in a constitutional sense and in a conviction sense. But here's what it tells me. She knows he's going to be exonerated. So she has to take the fallback position of what we've already done is going to last forever. Look, Jordan, the ultimate say is going to happen at the ballot box in November. And I'm pretty sure that Speaker Pelosi's position is not going to prevail.
Yeah, I mean, we're going to start taking your phone calls. But let me walk through. Okay, so we got Adam Schiff. He is the lead House manager, so he probably will open up the trial. They get to go first, not the president's team, but they get to go first. So he would be the opening speaker. He'd go for, we don't know how many hours. In the Clinton matter, it was 24 hours each side. That was about 3 days each side. This matter could be cut down a little bit because it's just not as, there wasn't as much detail that the House gave. Truth be told, the House isn't bringing a lot with it. So do they need really 24 hours? Could it be 12 instead, a side couple of days? That would be more like 2 days. But he'd likely open it. Now, he is a former, assistant U.S. attorney. Assistant U.S. attorney. So he's been a prosecutor before. His most famous prosecution was against Richard Miller, a former FBI agent who was convicted of spying for the Soviet Union. It was interesting. The first time he tried him, it was a hung jury. The second trial resulted in a conviction that got overturned, and then Miller got convicted on a third trial. Schiff represents now a district 27. That's basically Hollywood. It's large parts of Los Angeles, but Hollywood, Hollywood Hills, West Hollywood, if you're from, we have a lot of California listeners, Echo Park, Silver Lake, and Las Feliz. He is the Hollywood congressman. I mean, it's interesting, but there was redistricting put him in that spot. He is also, again, I think the number one thing to point out is that he's the chair of the House Intel Committee. He's been at the heart of this whole matter. His team met with the whistleblower before the whistleblower filed the report, and he lied about that. He also lied about the transcript when he made up his own transcript. And, surprise, surprise, he loves screenwriting. No wonder he made up his own transcript. He's also an avid writing screenplays on the side for years. Murder, mystery, spy dramas. He also happens to be a vegan, so you know. Now you know even about his diet. That's Adam Schiff. So you thought you knew a lot about Adam Schiff. Now you know too much. Jerry Nadler, what's interesting is he's been around a long time in Congress, in the House specifically. And Than, he's been there, again, from New York and representing parts of New York City and Manhattan. He was someone, you know, he's an attorney as well, but he also, he's the chair of the Judiciary Committee, House Judiciary Committee, and he was there under Clinton arguing against all the Clinton impeachment.
Yeah, 15 terms in Congress, Jordan. The most significant thing to me about him is this should be his job. I mean, he should be the lead manager, yeah, the one prosecuting the case. He should have been the one to shepherd it from beginning to end. He got took off the case early on. He was very upset about that. The reporting was wide and far that behind the scenes. He was really angry with the speaker about that. You could tell he was upset at today's press conference as well, that Chairman Schiff had been named the lead manager. So I do think these are probably the two that you will see and hear the most from. But the most significant thing about Jerry Nadler, Jordan, is that he's in the number two place, not the number one place. And I would just reiterate the most important thing about Chairman Schiff. You mentioned it, but Jordan, he's the one that, you know, he lied on one side or the other, but he's the only one that knows firsthand, most likely, the identity of the whistleblower. So when it comes to questions of those prosecuting the case, I would sure think that would be one of the ones asked of him.
All right, so there you go. I mean, he's also, what's interesting about Jerry Nadler, because FISA is certainly going to come up in this, he was unhappy with the passage of the Surveillance Reform Compromise Bill, the FISA, the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, Amendments Act of 2008, saying it, quote, abandons the Constitution's protections and insulates lawless behavior from legal scrutiny. So there you go with him. Next up is Hakeem Jeffries. He is a number four in the House leadership. He is the chairman of the House Democrat Caucus. That's the fourth ranking Democrat. He was a corporate attorney before getting involved with Congress. So he has a legal background as well. I think, you know, with his notes, again, being chair of the House Democrat Caucus, coming from that corporate legal background. Congresswoman Val Demings, again, she's the only one that doesn't, like, has a law degree. If she did get a law degree, it was sometime in between being a police officer and becoming chief of police, which you don't need a law degree to be, in Orlando. But she was a police officer for a couple of decades and also chief of police in Orlando. She will play a unique role because she's not, I guess, won't be making as much of the legal case. But again, you don't have to be, because it's not a normal court of law. You don't have to be a lawyer. And I think people from Central Florida will be very familiar with her, even if you're not as familiar with her around the country. She was elected in 2016. She's on the Judiciary Committee, so you may have seen her some throughout the hearings that took place in the House. Then you've got Zoe Lofgren. Now, she's been around since 1994, very much involved with, like, Silicon Valley stuff, tech stuff. She served on the House Judiciary during the Clinton impeachment. She was even a staffer in the House Judiciary Committee for Congressman Edwards, Don Edwards, on the impeachment of President Nixon. So she's been there for all, now will be there for all three. This time she's taking a role. She's the chair of the Committee on House Administration. Than, briefly, and we'll get to the last couple when we come back from the break, in the second half hour of the show, it's Jason Crow, who just got elected, and Sylvia Garcia, who just got elected in the last term. But what does the House Administration Committee do?
Yeah, they work on the rules of the House, and then also just for employees. It's like kind of like the HR of the House, Jordan. I would put it that way.
All right. So the other two, again, we will get to second half hour of the broadcast, but they are, if you don't get that second half hour, Jason Crow from Colorado, and Sylvia Garcia of Texas. And I don't want you to forget during all of this that at the ACLJ, all of our attorneys are at work doing the work of the Americans for Law and Justice, which you can find at ACLJ.org. And if you want to support the work of the ACLJ, donate online, ACLJ.org. Don't forget that throughout this process. We'll be right back.
For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, ACLJ.org.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
If the Senate doesn't permit the introduction of all relevant witnesses and of all documents that the House wants to introduce, because the House is the prosecutor here, then the Senate is engaging in an unconstitutional and disgusting cover-up. The Senate is on trial as well as the president.
And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
Very, very, I believe, dangerous language from Jerry Nadler. Because he's about to enter the Senate as a prosecutor. Not really chairman anymore. Not really even congressman anymore. But as House Manager Nadler, who is in a role as prosecutor. And he'll be treated equally as the White House counsel, Pat Cipollone, as my dad, as the others, other people on the Trump legal team who will be speaking, those of us who won't be speaking necessarily. But he'll be treated equally by the Senate. And yet he takes this shot saying that the U.S. Senate is on trial. Well, the Constitution says that the House shall have the sole power to impeach, but the Senate shall have the sole power to try all impeachments. They are not on trial. They try your articles. It is you, Jerry Nadler, and your articles of impeachment that are on trial, Than. I mean, that's the true point. Is what's on trial is what got passed, what is about to be passed out of the House now. The articles were already passed, but now it's being passed out of the House as we speak. They're part of their debate, and Jerry Nadler's talking again. And I think he's probably he is taking shots at the Senate again, based off what I'm seeing on the screen and the this whole idea. They love the word cover up now. That's their new phrase of the day. So much of this is an attack on the Senate. And if I were them, I'd say, again, you need the Senate to take your side. One, ultimately to win this, to have the president impeached, but they know that's not happening. So two, why are they moving forward this way? I mean, I think, Than, your reaction.
Well, one, it's constitutionally wrong. I mean, the Senate's not on trial. That is not what an impeachment is. But two, and Jordan, I think maybe this is the larger point. It's a strategic blunder of great magnitude, in my view. I mean, look, if you're trying to learn how to litigate a case, the last thing that you would go in and then attack the jurors. I mean, remember, Jerry Nadler is going to take this to the Senate, and he is going to try to prosecute this case, and then he's going to have to turn it over to the United States senators, Jordan, for a verdict. So he has now attacked those senators who are now having to duplicate as jurors. It just strikes me as strategically a big blunder. And I think he may be reeled in by the Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi, although those statements are already out, so it's kind of too late. I'm watching Jordan procedures on the floor of the House, and it does appear that Jerry Nadler has again reiterated some of those same attacks on the United States Senate. So it's going to be interesting to see how those senators play it. I would look, Jordan, at a couple of different groups. First of all, I would look at those senators on the Republican side of the aisle who do want to call witnesses or have at least said that they are open to it. I think that this will be a turnoff to them. This is a direct attack on their ability to seriously and soberly try the case. Jordan, the second group that I would look at are the people on the Democrat side of the aisle, the senators like Doug Jones, who is on the ballot, senators like Joe Manchin, who are not on the ballot, but they don't want to go down the road that Justice Kavanaugh went down, where the proceedings just deteriorated to a place where they were not taken seriously. So, Jordan, constitutionally wrong on the part of Jerry Nadler, but I think even more than that, a big, big strategic blunder. And I would tell you, this is why it was taken away from him in the first place.
All right, folks, we come back again. Let's quickly go through. So Congressman Jason Crow, freshman member of Congress, served with the Army Rangers, went to law school, was a litigator in private practice in Colorado. And you've got Sylvia Garcia in Texas, served as a judge there, just got elected to Congress. That's it. That is your House managers. Those are the seven making the case. The debate is like almost done on Capitol. I told you, I mean, it'd be there and done because this is very limited. And that's fine with me. You know, like, move this over to the Senate now. And Nancy Pelosi can talk all she wants at press conferences. She will no longer have, like, an official role. We will take your phone calls. We come back, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. And I don't want you to forget, throughout all of this, the work of the ACLJ. It continues. We're a big organization, as we've explained, with offices around the country and the world. So go to ACLJ.org, know what we're up to, but remember, you can always support the work of the ACLJ. Our attorneys are hard at work, not on impeachment, on lots of other issues. Go to ACLJ.org, donate.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, ACLJ.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Schiff is speaking now. We're going to hear so much from him in the next 2 weeks. I'm not going to go to that. But Nadler again said, and I'm saying this is fatal, not about impeachment, but just this is not how you go into a court. You don't, like, if I have a case before a U.S. Supreme Court, do you think I start attacking, or any court, the judge immediately, like before anything started, because of what they may or may not do? Now, there may be times throughout the process where you question the judge's decisions, but to say that the judge is on trial, or to say that the jurors are on trial, that's not really like if you went into a jury trial and told all the jurors, it's not us, the prosecutors, who are bringing the charges, it's you who are on trial. I think the jurors would respond well to that. Think these guys maybe have been in Congress too long and not in the real world. Take a listen, because Jerry Nadler did it at the press conference, but now he's done it on the floor of the U.S. House of Representatives, basically making this, you want to hear a bunch about Donald Trump. You're now hearing Than and Harry. A lot of this is about the U.S. Senate. And if I'm Susan Collins, and Susan Collins, if anybody your team is listening right now, you'd say, you know what, Jerry Nadler, they're coming after you. They're coming for you in this. They know they can't get President Trump. They're coming for you. They're coming for the Lisa Murkowskis. They're trying to play the moderates, but they are not very good at it. So instead, they have decided to attack you, and they've already started. Take a listen to Jerry Nadler.
Under today's resolution, the managers also have broad authority to submit to the Senate any additional evidence the House may acquire on its own, and we will do so. The Senate is on trial. We will see whether they conduct a fair trial and allow the witnesses or conduct a cover-up.
Okay, I want to address one of those points right there. Like, they can bring any documents they want. The rules have not been yet founded. Now, they wrote a 900 pages of reporting, which I think they'll submit as, like, they'll use as, like, their brief. But what their main argument is, what's in their articles of impeachment, articles 1 and 2. All this extra stuff, that would be have to allowed in by the rules of the Senate. And it's not a cover-up to say you can't bring in extra stuff, or you can bring in extra stuff. And by the way, each piece of that would probably have to be argued. I mean, I think he's, you know, trying to make these broad statements. I just want to make that clear. But I want to get reaction. We've gone through who the House managers are, and then we're going to get to your phone calls. I want to get reaction from Than, but first Harry Hutchinson as well, Harry from the legal world, attacking, really, it's like attacking the court and the jurors at the same time before your case started, by saying they're kind of ignoring, it's interesting, President Trump right now. And if I've said this a number of times, I will tell, this is one thing you can hear that I've said a number of times to my dad that I haven't said on the air. I said, you know, Dad, if this becomes an attack on specific senators. Just know, and if you start like not, the focus is not so much, yeah, obviously they will start talking about President Trump when they have their 24 hours, but if their initial start to this is really shots across the bow against the Senate as a body and specific senators they know who know they're getting shot at. Let me tell you, Susan Collins knows she got shot at today by Jerry Nadler because she said we're not going to allow witnesses before the start of this trial. They're still stuck on that point that we must have witnesses now. And what if they get to the point where at the end of all of this, they say this is such a weak case, we're not going to waste more of our time with more witnesses because you didn't make a good enough case to even get to that point. And so that's not a cover-up. That's just you didn't have enough information in your articles of impeachment. You didn't do your job. But Harry, the worst strategy usually, and again, even if it's like a partisan thing, because there is a big difference between the House and the Senate, and they treat each other very differently. And there's the Senate's 100 members, House is 435, and so it's just different. It's not, you don't start a trial by saying, jury, you're on trial.
I think that's precisely correct, but I think history often repeats itself. The Democrats have engaged in massive amounts of unintelligent and deficient conduct with respect to how they conducted this so-called impeachment inquiry from the get-go. Among other things, they deprived the president of due process with respect to the House investigation itself. And so I think as this process proceeds and goes forward to the United States Senate, what we will find is additional evidence of the deficiencies in the House impeachment process. And so at the end of the day, the House will be exposed, and effectively the House Democrats are on trial with respect to bringing this impeachment without coming up with sound, solid evidence. And so right now, House Democrats, they are looking to the Senate to bail them out. They refuse to go to the courts to demand that the courts enforce subpoenas against certain witnesses. They are now calling for additional witnesses. Well, it's the House of Representatives' job to basically acquire documentary evidence and testimonial evidence. It's not the Senate's job. And so they have demanded over the last 25 or 30 days or so that the Senate complete their investigation, and Mitch McConnell has rightly called their bluff. And now they are sending over these articles of impeachment without, in my opinion, sufficient evidence.
Mike, Sandy, David, John, we're going to get to your phone calls. I just want to get through this discussion because it's happening as we speak live on the House floor. And ultimately, we'll be on the Senate floor soon. And Kevin McCarthy's making some great points right now, Than. I don't want to have to rewind him, but he's just pointing out the facts. You know, Adam Schiff throughout this has lied. He lied about the contact with the whistleblower. He lied about the transcript. I guess that's because he's a screenwriter. He's been like judge and jury. He was very tough on Republicans in the hearing and trying to shut them down from questioning. He's not going to have that kind of flexibility or power. He's going to be treated just like another attorney in this matter, which is the right thing under the Constitution. So this is their last time to kind of go. That was his last time to go on the floor and bloviate. Now, I guess he could use his time in the Senate as one of the House managers to do that, go right ahead, but that wouldn't be very effective. So he will get to talk more, but he will not be so, in a sense, high-ranking. He will be treated equally. I think that, again, take a listen. Here's Doug Collins, Byte 68, just said this.
This has always been a political impeachment. Even today on the floor, the talk of the president being forever impeached and it's always being esteemed forgets the Senate trial. I hope this ends this political impeachment and this body never sees it again.
And this idea as well, Jerry Nadler literally campaigned to become House Judiciary Chair and said in his campaign literature to fellow Democrats, I'm the best to impeach the president. I mean, these are the two leads for the House Democrats.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to go well for them, Jordan. In fact, I'd look for opportunities, if I were them, to be silent. Maybe not invoke the fifth, but don't speak, because they might find themselves the ones that are on trial. Jordan, but I just wanted to underscore something that you had a conversation with
Harry. The articles that they passed are on trial, Than. I mean, they are. They're not personally, but the articles that they passed, the two of them, Schiff and Nadler, who took the lead on that, that's what's on trial here. Is there enough weight of that to remove a president, or if not, they failed and took the country through a disaster for no reason?
Which makes the evidence that Kevin McCarthy just went through directly relevant, Jordan. That's exactly correct. But I was thinking back to House Resolution 660, which if you remember, that was the resolution that governed the impeachment rules and procedures of debate in the House of Representatives. And there was a clause in there, Jordan, that says they could change the rules at any time if they wanted to. To me, that's what it sounded like when Jerry Nadler just said, under today's resolution, the managers also have broad authority to submit to the Senate any additional evidence they may acquire on its own. Jordan, I have news for Jerry Nadler. The resolution that they're passing today does not govern debate in the United States Senate. They can pass whatever they want, but when they send it over to the Senate, it's the resolution that Leader McConnell will introduce next week that will govern debate in the United States Senate. So he can say they have broad authority all they want. Today's resolution has no bearing on the United States Senate.
Let me tell you, folks, when we come back, we're going to take all your phone calls. We're going to do in this final segment of the broadcast. We're going to focus on taking your calls. There's a couple lines open right now. If you want to get in, you'd have to get in right now, I'd say. So call 1-800-684-3110 if you've got questions about this. The House will have the vote on this very soon. It does seem like they've gone a little bit more than 10 minutes, but that may just be because of fairness. And allotting time. Maybe they changed it and made it a little bit longer. But it's not an out-of-control debate. It's leadership talking. Yeah, okay, leadership privilege is what Dan just noted in our chat. And then ultimately there'll be a vote. Those votes take – Dan, is this one that's open for what, 40 minutes, 30 minutes, 15 minutes?
I haven't heard exactly. My guess would be 15, Jordan. The first in a series like this is 15. But, yeah, the extension
it's
of
passing.
Debate, Jordan, that the leadership privilege from McCarthy.
Yeah, here. And it's going to pass – okay, this is going to move out of the House. It'll probably happen after we're on air, but it's going to move out of the House. There's no question about that. So when we come back, we'll take your phone calls. 1-800-684-3110. And again, I just want to reinforce this to you as I have these final couple of days that I know I've got with you on air. The ACLJ is a big organization. While some of us are going to be focused on this in our other roles as counsels, as part of the president's legal team, and I think you all respect that, and you actually like the fact that the ACLJ lawyers got picked to do that. Remember that the work of the ACLJ and most of our attorneys and government affairs teams, that continues. This broadcast continues, and we need your financial support. You can donate at aclj.org. We'll be
only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected, is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, aclj.org.
All right, so the House has, just so you know, it was a leadership privilege. It was supposed to be a 10-minute debate. Kevin McCarthy is able to speak. As the Republican leader of the House of Representatives, he continues to speak. And then there will be a vote. The articles will pass out. I don't think that will happen in these last 8 minutes that we're on the air with you, but it's going to happen today. They'll be walked over to the Senate. The Senate will pass a vote to accept the articles and start some procedural matters. Some of that may be interesting to see, like the Chief Justice swearing in the senators, but you're not going to see the lawyers start doing battle, it looks like, until Tuesday. And why Tuesday, not Monday? Just a reminder, I know a lot of you still have to work, but the MLK holiday is a federal holiday. School's closed, government's closed, many offices are closed. But the Senate is not operating then. So just so you know about that. Now, I want to go right to the phone calls. Let's go, as people have been holding on, let's make sure Dave gets everybody who's hanging on right now can get a copy of The Next Red Wave. It's my book. It's in stores now. And directly applies to all of this. How, one, we said the deep state wasn't done. They're going to keep coming at the present. They will. And let me tell you something, without getting into all these releases that came out in these last 24 hours, they're still coming at the present. They will continue. So this is a great book. If you're not getting a free copy today because you're one of the callers that gets on the air, make sure to pick this up. I know the bookstores were restocked as well, or you can order places like Amazon, Barnes & Noble, again, or get the audiobook, the ebook. That's all available. The Next Red Wave. It's a guide to victory through all this mess in 2020. Back to the phones we go, right to the phones we go. Let me go to David in California. David, thanks for holding on. We'll get you a signed copy of The Next Red Wave. You're on the air.
Well, thanks for taking the call, Jordan. With the 2020 presidential election kind of always in mind, I guess my question around this is, isn't all of this really about the Democrats creating the appearance of a there when they've not had a there? The Senate on trial comment, I really feel it's signaling the media and its coverage, you know, framing the loss that they're fully expecting through the Senate trial, because the Senate, basically, they're trying to frame a bias when the House knew they didn't have a case and they had a deficiency.
Yeah, well, I think that is clearly the case. It's a constant, like, misdirection, Harry.
I think that is correct. I think the Democrats, in many respects, are a party without a coherent and intelligible message to the American people. They are the party of Medicare for All, which was essentially take private insurance from 150 million Americans. And so Van Jones, who is a Democrat, suggested last night that there is no candidate in the Democrat debate or on the Democratic debate stage who could take Donald Trump out. So I think in part the whole impeachment narrative is grounded in trying to weaken President Trump's candidacy going forward, because the Democrats' candidates are demonstrably weak. And I think that's a problem. In addition to which, of course, the economy is doing well. The president just signed phase one of a trade deal with China. The stock market is doing well. Unemployment is at record lows. And most recent evidence suggests that by a preponderance of the economic evidence, a good portion, most of the economic benefits are going to middle and lower middle class Americans. That makes a difference come November.
Listen to Van Jones on CNN last night, because Harry talked about the political matter here in the White House, the race for the White House. This is Van Jones. He's a Democrat. He's a liberal. He wants President Trump to lose in November. I mean, he's not a supporter of the president. But take a listen. This was his, because I got to remind you, there was a Democrat debate last night. It was the smallest yet. And so you could have had the biggest war, I mean, right before the Iowa caucus. And it was the most dull, to say the least. And he had even more to say. And I think, listen, if you don't want to take our words for how we interpret how Democrats see things, listen to Van Jones, a Democrat who wants Donald Trump to lose in November, by 52.
I want to say that tonight for me was dispiriting. Democrats have to do better than what we saw tonight. There was nothing I saw tonight that would be able to take Donald Trump out, and I want to see a Democrat in the White House as soon as possible. There was nothing tonight that if you're looking at this thing, you say this, any of these people are prepared for what Donald Trump is going to do to us, and to see further division tonight is very dispiriting.
Again, not anyone who could take the time. So, again, they're about to, Nancy Pelosi speaking now, and the vote will occur very quickly. Let me go back to the phones. Mike in Pennsylvania, line four. Mike, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Thank you, and thank you for the book. That's a blessing. Appreciate
Absolutely.
It. I'm just curious to get your opinion on Nancy Pelosi's future as any kind of a powerhouse in the Democrat Party. She effectively made a clown car out of Congress, so will she get...
I think it all comes down to this. It all comes down to this election cycle. So if the Democrats maintain control of the House, Nancy Pelosi will probably still be there. Because she will claim at least a political victory, even though they will lose the impeachment battle, by maintaining control of the House of Representatives. Now, I thought, and even in the next red wave, I thought that the goal, and this was months ago, and even longer than that when you actually write the book by the time it gets published, the goal was to make gains in the House, add a couple seats, Republican seats in the Senate, and of course get Donald Trump reelected if you're a Republican. But I think this impeachment thing threw it all up in the air, and Than, just quickly, because I want to take the final two calls, threw the House, because every House member is up for re-election, and the way Nancy Pelosi goes out the door is I don't think she would stick around to be the minority leader again.
Yeah, no, I can agree with that, Jordan. Just quickly, I would say I think her influence is already waning. I'm the one on the side that thinks she knew there would be a high political cost.
She didn't want to do this.
The other wing of her party led her down this path, Jordan.
Yeah, she did not want to do this, and I think Nancy Pelosi was right the first time. This should be up to the voters. It was way too close to the election, and she was right, but she couldn't. She was losing power inside her caucus. Let's go right back to the phone. Sandy in California, on line three. Hey, Sandy.
Hi, Jordan. Thanks for taking my call.
Yep.
Do you think Pelosi timed this to benefit Biden by keeping the senators off the campaign trail? And what happens if they do miss a day?
I always think there's a 4D approach. Now, they cannot miss a day. I mean, so I guess technically if, like, you did take a flight to Iowa and there was a blizzard somewhere across the way, they might be able to make some kind of, I'm not saying that they, I don't know if they would then not be able to vote. It would depend on how the rules are. Than, I guess that just would go to the rules. If you do step out of the chamber, if you leave the chamber when you're not authorized to do so, you might not be allowed back in to vote, which would then, maybe the rules will have these, for extreme circumstances, acts of God kind of situation.
Well, and even if you do make it back to Iowa, Jordan, are you going to have an event in the middle of the night? I mean, really, that's about all it's going to afford. So,
well,
look,
you will have the morning. You will have like these weird 6 a.m. times probably to be able to get back. Literally, you'd be spending a ton of money to have maybe one evening event at 10 o'clock at night, 11 o'clock at night, and one morning event like breakfast at 6 a.m., and then out the door you go again. And taxing on anyone, but especially by the time you're a U.S. senator, you kind of hit a certain age, most of them, pretty tough. Except for the fact that if you are leading in there and you're trying to really make a play for President of the United States, you should have that, I guess, in you. If you've got the resources to do it. Like, I don't think Amy Klobuchar should have the resources to charter a plane every night. Bernie Sanders, he does, but you could be burning through cash pretty quick. You'd have to have a lot of support to do that. And maybe you don't do it every night. Maybe you do it every three nights and you utilize that Sunday. We know that there will never be trial on Sunday. We also know there will be a set time once the rules are done of when it begins and when it ends each day. But at a minimum, we're talking a couple weeks here. Long term, could be five. Should be the shorter is best. It should never even be happening. That's all into today. We shouldn't. If you've just watched how this has played out today, how partisan this is, how this is about the Senate, really, and they want to take out some Republican senators through this process, this should not even be an impeachment. We shouldn't even be having a trial.
For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, ACLJ.org.